Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's 2 o'clock on Friday, just hanging out with Jeremy and Kurt. A little unscripted today. We've been laxing on the blog discussions. So just, you know, trying to touch base with everybody, seeing what's going on out there in the world, and talk a little Baltimore courtroom, a little Baltimore politics. What do you got going on today, Jeremy?
Well, clearly one of us needs a nap here. The things we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk a little bit about the updates in Freddie Gray. We're going to talk a little bit about the gag order that was issued by Judge Williams. We're going to talk a little bit of fantasy football news, why and whether the Cowboys should have released Joseph Randall in light of his shoplifting and then new traffic case. And then we're going to talk about some local Baltimore news. Bottom line is, we are looking for callers, and if you're available, feel free to call in, because this will be the one time that we don't charge you $2.50 an hour if you're not our friend. Other than that, I think we should really get started with the fact that, you know, this isn't necessarily brand new news here, Kurt, but I was very intrigued that it took almost 5 or 6 months in the Freddie Gray case for Judge Williams to finally issue a gag order and telling the lawyers that they can't discuss the case outside of the courtroom. Now, for those of you listening, before we get Kurt's take on this, you have to understand this isn't a gag order in the typical sense. It's not a written order that goes out telling the lawyers that they can't discuss the case, they can't discuss any motions that are being filed, they can't share any of the public records, the records are sealed by the clerk's office. This seemingly was a bit more unofficial than that, and there was a comment made from the bench by the judge. So what's your take on the situation, and why did it take so long, Kurt?
Well, part of the problem was the state's attorney's office filed a gag order in circuit court when the case was in district court. I really don't know why they waited so long to request a gag order. Frankly, I think the judge just got sick of so much stuff about the case showing up in the press. And really, since the gag order's gone down, there really hasn't been a lot. But there also, frankly, haven't been a lot of new developments since the gag order went down a couple weeks ago.
Well, truthfully, I mean, we're the ones talking about it in the press. I mean, you and I have been on TV talking about it. So I don't want to say I necessarily take umbrage with this court's decision. I have a lot of respect for Judge Williams. But I do feel as though it was nice to have some of these issues hashed out. I mean, rarely do we see a case where both sides are fighting so arduously against each other. And it was nice to have sort of opinions being back and forth in the media about some of these issues and explaining them. You know, I did a radio show the other day, and what became plainly obvious to me, and this is sort of what I think is affected by the gag order, is that people have formed their own opinions. I mean, I had three callers in a row during a radio show I did talk to me about the fact that it was so obvious that Freddie Gray couldn't walk in the video that everyone seen, and they couldn't understand why the officers and the seat buckle issue for belting him in had anything to do with the case at all. So that's what worries me, is without any commentating on the case, without sort of lawyers being able to explain some of what's going on, I'm worried that these predeterminations are going to affect the case.
Yeah, well, and that's something we'll have to find out about. Do you think this case is really going to start in a couple weeks?
I think it is. I think that the lawyers on the defense side are raring to go. I think the state, given all of the nervousness that's been shown through the discovery process, this hesitancy to turn things over, may really affect their desire to try the case so quickly. I think the state thought, like in Baltimore City with most cases, that this case was going to be delayed. But it seems as though the defense attorneys, regardless of the discovery issues, are going full speed ahead and want to take their bite at the apple as quickly.
And then one of the crazy things to think about is, what happens to this case if they get into discovery? Let's just assume for a second they get a jury panel sworn, and then there's a document that the state never turned over.
I mean, that's going to be an appellate issue, or that'll be an issue for mistrial. But, I mean, these attorneys are, you know, it's like six high college students sitting outside of a Chinese buffet. I mean, these people are hungry and they're ready to go. I mean,
did you just say six high college students outside of a Chinese food buffet? Did you make that up just now?
Let me tell you this. There are analogies that need to be made outside of the legal profession to explain what we're facing right here. And if six high college students that are hungry and ready to rock and roll help our listeners understand, but you have to get the fact that these officers are suspended. These officers are not working. These officers' families, reputations are affected each and every moment that this case progresses. And I am sure that they're probably putting pressure on their attorneys to say, let's rock and roll. I know that what I did wasn't wrong. and they want their day in court. Not to mention, with all of these discovery issues, I mean, even if any of them lose, you know that they're going to be appellate issues. You
oh,
know
absolutely.
The fact that Judge Williams isn't letting these lawyers argue these motions. I mean, he's quashed every subpoena for a motions hearing. You've got to think that these lawyers are saying, you know what, let's go to trial, and even if we lose, we know that on appeal, we might still get a second shot at this.
Right. Hey, if there's anybody out there with any questions, our dial-in number is 657-383-0809. So one of the other things that really struck me in the news this week was that police officer in Illinois. Did you see that guy?
Are we talking about the school case, or are we talking about...
No, we're talking about the guy that apparently killed himself.
Oh,
with the manhunt?
Oh, are we talking about the lieutenant who was claimed a hero and then the city audit exposed his malfeasance?
Okay, so how come every picture of that guy, he's wearing fatigues? Like, every single picture of that, I mean, there's something wrong. Like, I've never seen a police officer. Like, there's a couple guys that wear fatigues, like, as part of a uniform. But, like, I'm pretty sure, like, you're military.
I'm pretty sure every picture of that guy looked like Kurt Knockman with a shaved head.
No one wants to see me with a shaved head. I got funny lumps all over my head.
No, I will tell you, it's crazy, though, because every title to the story that you read is, you know, the fact that the city government was a day away from exposing his misconduct.
Yeah.
And that this guy killed himself that night. I mean, what's really sad here, though, is his death brought the community together, and now it's tearing them apart.
Well,
and that's what's so sad.
And so, like, I saw the family was, like, disputing some of these claims, but the prospect that this was a three-state manhunt that diverted resources from a lot of different jurisdictions and a lot of different places, I mean, that's obviously pretty disturbing, and it's really problematic, you know, to the future. But, you know, I hate to say that I feel like this is the tip of the iceberg, but, you know, you sort of see it all over the country.
First of all, again, you got to hope it begins and ends with him.
Right.
You have to hope that the malfeasance is done. And who's really hurt here that no one's talking about? I mean, look, the fact that they used state resources on the manhunt,
right?
Well, that's part of it. That's the personal part of it. And then what about the fact that he stole all that money from a youth organization?
Right.
I mean, so we don't know what that money was funding. We're not talking about a giant urban area. We're not talking about Chicago where the mayor can come in and allocate resources. So, you know, you have to wonder all of the collateral consequences that are now going to occur as a result of this. You know, I want to move on to something a little bit more personal, a little bit closer to you, because our listeners don't just want to hear about law. I want to hear, you know, Kurt locked himself in his office on Monday for a short period of time and had a moment for Le'Veon Bell. And I just want to know, are you okay, Mr. Knockman?
No, I'm actually not okay. I had him on two fantasy football teams. You know, I'm from Pittsburgh. He's my team. He was my team.
Is it true that you bought a D'Angelo Williams jersey over the weekend?
So I actually luckily picked up D'Angelo Williams to backfill, you know, on both my squads. So hopefully with Big Ben back, the Steelers will be, you know, putting up some numbers here pretty soon. They certainly didn't do it last week, but
I was a little worried about you. I mean, I really thought that I was going to see like some $5 eBay D'Angelo Williams Panthers jersey with a Steelers sticker on it at work on Monday. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's been a rough season.
I'm not even going to start on the Redskins.
Look, Kirk Cousins has done a very inferior job of keeping our hopes alive. Look, we play in a very weak division, and that is a beautiful thing. You know, with Romo's sidelined, with Dez Bryant still only playing six snaps, with Chip Kelly having the most dysfunctional team in the NFL quietly and getting called a racist every other week by his former players, we play in a division where we could probably go 8-8 and still make the playoffs. So, you know, not to
worry, you will go 8-8, and that will be a good season for you.
8-8 would be the Super Bowl.
Do you have a first-round draft pick between now and 2020?
No, we finally got one back. We had to mortgage three houses and sell four cars and all of my fur coats in order to get one.
Okay.
But we finally got one. Joe Theismann's second knee is on the line for next year's draft pick. So it's nice that we finally get one. Not to mention, if you want to pick on us, I mean, DeSean Jackson's hamstring, I mean, that was like the slowest smoked pork shoulder. I mean, this guy's had a hamstring issue for 9 weeks. You know what I mean? I got a lower back issue on a Saturday. I'm in trial on a Monday, Kurt. I mean, in our profession, I don't get to claim hamstring injury. So I'd like it to Sean Jackson. I mean, they claim this guy.
You also aren't going up against, you know, like like Sherman or any of the defensive backs in the NFL. I mean, let's be very real here.
Look, I'm just saying I come to work on Mondays. I would like DeSean Jackson to come to work on Mondays. I don't think that these expectations are so highfalutin that we can't have them. You know, not to mention I drafted him in 2 weeks. I'll be in the 6th and 7th round, but I'd like him to come in. Kurt, why don't you give some of our potential callers that phone number again? I think it's time to answer some legal questions.
Yeah, so the number is 657. It's, again, it's 657-383-0809. 657-383-0809.
It's also on our Facebook page as well, Facebook.com/EMLawyers.
So lots of people running for mayor of Baltimore. Lots of people running for mayor of Baltimore.
Not lots of people, too, isn't it?
You aren't running for mayor, but you don't live in the city. I'm not running for mayor.
Got to be honest.
I don't live in the city. Is there anyone? I think there are 600.
Right,
you're running for mayor?
I've decided to run for mayor.
All right.
Of the Lollipop Guild. Due to my height, we are running. No, I mean, it's everyone, not to mention our former colleague, Elizabeth Embry, announced
today. She announced today. Right, right. And then David Warnock?
Camden Hedge Fund.
Okay. So I've never met him before, but apparently, you know, he's somebody to watch out for. And we've got Sheila Dixon, the former mayor, who's running.
Mr. Mosby is running,
that's right. Catherine Pugh's running for mayor. Is there anybody that I've left out?
Carl Stokes is running for mayor.
This is like his ninth time running for mayor.
Well, not
it?
To mention, his name really flowery during the quote-unquote riot. And I have to say that I feel like he Carl stoked some emotions in the community with that, because he was one of the first people to drop the N-word on live TV. And I don't think a lot of people were expecting that necessarily.
You're puntastic today.
I am. It's Friday. We haven't been on in a while. I want our listeners to know that we care. And I need everyone to know that, albeit that the news has slowed down on Freddie Gray, EN Lawyers has not. And if you are ever in need of a lawyer, you need to call us. And if I can read a note from our sponsor very briefly.
Let me hear this note from the sponsor. Go ahead.
Otlaw is everywhere. The law offices of Otten Inns, we are open 24/7, albeit we are advertising on EN Lawyers' time. We are also handling all of their co-defendant cases. Please give EN Lawyers a call if you're looking for co-defendant's counsel.
Oh, my God. That's the worst ad ever. Okay.
You know what we're not talking about, which is probably the coolest thing of this Friday, Kurt? Do you know what today is?
Oh, it's Hug a Lawyer Day.
Okay.
It's like Love Your Lawyer Day or something.
And?
Yesterday was like the bombing
of
the
day.
Okay.
Still on today.
Taco
National
Friday?
National Nacho Day.
National Nacho Day. That's what I saw that on Facebook,
like
too. Is that a real thing?
National Saxophone Day.
So I saw someone had the creativity to combine nachos, saxophones, and lawyers, and they said it must be Bill Clinton Day.
Whose picture I have in my office.
You
my
do actually
theory.
Have your own personal signed Bill Clinton autograph. It's a blue dress. I know you only wore it that one time.
I know.
But it was a very special moment for you.
Do you know how much I paid on the dry cleaner to get this fan out? And it still didn't get out. But I had it framed, and it's been nice. A lot of clients enjoy my Bill Clinton memorabilia in my office.
Right, right. So, like I said before, who isn't running for mayor? I'd like to hear from one of the people out there who is not running for mayor. And if you're out there, you can call 657-383-0809. I was assured that we were going to have a special guest caller today with some interesting legal questions, but
why don't you give me that number one more time?
Again, our call-in number is 657-383-0809. 657-383-0809. Phone lines are open.
While we're waiting, I'm really dying to talk about the Joseph Randall. I mean, to combine sports and legal issues, I mean, this guy is having his breakout year, right? They get rid of DeMarco Murray to the Eagles. You have Joseph Randall, Lance Dunbar's out very early in the season. Darren McFadden, the ever-injured, the Mr. Glass, a.k.a. Jeremy Eldridge of your football team, who's always hurt. So this guy has the opportunity to play for the starting gig, a couple multi-touchdown games. So he steals, a guy who makes a couple million dollars a year, steals underwear and perfume and gets probation, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you need drawers.
And then he's involved in another offense. And I just sort of want to say, and if you look at some of the early articles on our website, we often key in on sports players, sort of razzing them for why in God's name with such a wonderful job do you commit this crime. And what we deal with is recidivism.
You know, what we deal with are people that continuously sort of make bad decisions, although they're not bad people. And, you know, what's your take on Joseph Brandt? I mean, for a guy with all this potential and this, you know, this ability to take the starting job to then get arrested again.
What's he arrested for this time? I know he's out.
I mean, it doesn't even matter. It's traffic. But does it honestly even matter?
No, I mean, so traffic, I think, is a little different than the regular run-of-the-mill stuff. I mean, somebody once told me when I was a baby prosecutor that traffic court is just taking care of business court. It's just people not taking care of business, not taking care of their, you know, and not paying attention to what it is that they're doing. But, you know, it's funny with, like, theft, you know, there's either two kinds of people who steal. There's people who like to steal just for the thrill of it or for the to get a rise out of it. And then there's the person who steals because they have to steal. And I think, you know, it's really important to delineate if you're a defense attorney, you've got to be able to delineate between that because
Leaving to rob from entrapment?
Exactly.
Is that what we're talking about?
Exactly.
Sean Connery from Hugh Jackman?
Hugh Jackman.
I never even saw Leaving to Rob. My wife, unfortunately.
It was Hugh Jackman.
You know, don't you?
I do.
Yes.
You know
his lamb chops.
But Jean Valjean.
No, there undeniably is a difference. And one of the things that we employ as lawyers is figuring out the right defense for the right person. I mean, when you're talking about Les Miserables, you're talking about mitigation, economic hardship, how can we show the prosecutor and or judge that this was a necessity-based thing, even if you're guilty of it, versus the kleptomaniac who may have some mental health issues or is just simply a thief. And in those cases, sometimes we run into judges who hate them. There's one in the city in particular who has a particular thing for thieves and tends to maximize their sentence.
I don't think anybody really loves a thief, but I think, you know, it comes back to the old adage. Sometimes, you know, sometimes when I'm sitting in court and I don't have a lot to work with, I usually think of the old, what is it, the four D's of dodgeball? Dodge, dip, dive, dodge, and dodge.
The adage I thought you were going to drop was some people like their cucumbers tickled. So I was very confused. I didn't know we were going into what our idiosyncrasies are regarding cucumbers and pickles. So I'm glad that you went with a different adage today. So what else is going on in your mind? I mean, you keep bringing up this mayor's race. I mean, you clearly have a comment that you want to get out to our listeners about that.
I mean, I just want to know if somebody's really going to come out and sort of be a front runner in this race.
I mean, she was the front runner. I mean,
how is she not a front runner?
She's already been mayor, right?
Okay.
I mean, it's like saying when Marion Barry ran. Anytime Marion Barry ran in D.C., we were like, oh, everybody knows who Marion Barry is. I think that there's the idea that she's already been there. And even though everything happened and we can all make light of it, she's sort of reformed. And
She just hasn't gotten caught with any gift cards.
Well, she got her PBJ, even if it's expunged, who cares, because we all know what happened. But she was a school teacher. She's from Baltimore City. You know, her being mired in controversy with the gift card stuff really was a little bit of horse manure, only because it was a small amount of money, and given what we've heard about other mayors who have had their troubles, Kwame Kilpatrick was doing 25 to 30 years. For real stuff, that seemed pretty minor to me, somewhat politically motivated. That being said, how can you not say she's a front runner? I mean, I'm not saying she's my front runner. I'm saying how can you say that a former mayor coming out isn't?
Well, let me ask you a question, and this is a question that's come up. It's come up in our office. It's come up in other circles, and people have asked me this question. So, you know, does Nick Mosby have a conflict of interest, and should that bar him from running for mayor? You know, I was watching Fox 45 the other morning, and they had two state delegates on there. And there's apparently a statewide ethics commission that can write opinion letters for these type of things. And, you know, one of the delegates said, well, Mr. Mosby must have, you know, sought their opinion.
Must have.
I don't know. That was sort of a weird. I mean, it was, you know, the delegate and I apologize. I don't remember off the top of my head who it was. Pat McDonough was a Republican who was on there, or no, Susan McComas.
Hold on.
And then there was somebody else from the city.
I got to stop you. Believing that any Mosby is going to get an ethical opinion before they do anything is like telling me that I should look at the calorie counter menu at Chipotle before I order a damn burrito.
You got to be careful. You never know. It might have E. coli in them.
Let me tell you this. When Marilyn Mosby said she was investigating this case, she went on C4 and said that she was going to turn over all of the evidence to an independent commission. Did that ever happen? I never heard of that happening. So I'm sorry. But for one Mosby to say that and not do it, I'm not ready to take anything.
Well, so I guess my question was, when she said that, I said, well, why wouldn't Nick Mosby have put that on his website? Like, for me, that's a selling point, that if it's been vetted through, you know, an ethics commission. I'm not familiar with ethics laws. I know you're not familiar with ethics laws.
That's because I'm just so ethical.
You just don't even have to worry about that.
It's like an ethical tuxedo that I don't have to rent from my own.
Wow. Okay.
No, but no, you're right. I mean, I make light of this stuff, but truthfully, when we're talking about this, what irks me, which is why I'm just so snarky about it, is this is easy. This is something that shouldn't be difficult. It shouldn't be expected. I mean, if you see what you believe is a conflict, if you're a lawyer representing somebody, if you're a politician, you represent the people. You represent your client. It's not about you. So handle it, clear it up, and let the people know. And I guess that's my take on it. I just, you know, unfortunately, I guess maybe my expectations are a little too high of people. But, you know, regardless.
So the question then becomes, is he going to win? I mean, I think, frankly, whether you like it or not, I think Nick Mosby's the front runner. I know you may not like it, but I think Nick's the front runner.
Well,
name recognition combined with having it established, he's a sitting candidate right now. You know, I know Sheila was mayor before, but you know, Nick is a pretty prominent individual, and he's known to his constituents as a guy that gets things done.
Here's my question, and this doesn't go to you, this goes to our listeners. If there's a bookie out there that's willing to take a parlay on the mayor's race, I just want to pick three.
Ooh, I like that. There you go.
Because if I can pick three, I guarantee you I end up in the money on this one. There's so many people in this one, and everyone's talked about the obvious question, and I just want to put it out there because I think it needs to be said despite its sensitivity, which is what was said in the very beginning was, if one white candidate enters the race, does that mean that the African-American candidates would fracture the vote so much that the white candidate would win?
I think that's possible.
Well,
the question is, now you've got two white candidates.
Exactly.
So how is that going to pan out? You know, is our former colleague Liz, is she going to split the vote with this guy Warnock? I mean,
Here's what I have to say about her, okay? She was a lawyer in the state's attorney's office. She worked for the mayor in the Office of Crime Prevention and Control. She worked for the Labor Department. She has worked at the Attorney General's office. She is an individual who, everywhere she went, has done a great job. She's not someone, as a lawyer, you hear anything disparaging about.
No.
She's
no.
Someone that seemingly everywhere she goes gets the job done, despite people's complaint that every time she gets a new job that she's inexperienced. And my comment on that very simply is, for once, it would be nice for the city to elect somebody in a meritocracy. It would be nice for someone to elect somebody that
oh, come
that
on.
Has,
Eldridge! You are so full of it. It is unbelievable. Your eyes are swelling up with brown right now. This is politics. When does politics ever become about merit and who the best person is?
Well, that's why I prefaced it with, it would be nice. I mean, it would be nice if I won every week of fantasy football, but we don't always get what we want in this world.
So we've got about 5 minutes left. The call lines are still open. We had a couple callers that promised us they would call in today, and you got 5 minutes left to do it. Call in number 657-383-0809. We will take your calls and answer all your legal questions.
We did have a free giveaway today.
What was the free giveaway?
The free giveaway was one free speeding ticket representation by EM Lawyers.
I'm not doing that. You're doing that?
Well, of course I'm doing it. I mean,
in Wicomico County?
Oh, only in Wicomico County. In fact, if you have a speeding ticket in Wicomico County, this is your time to call. It can be in Wicomico or Garrett counties. Those are our lucky counties today. And when you call, you're going to want to hit 7, followed by 4, followed by 3, and then ask for Jeremy Elder.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
What other topics do we have to discuss today?
I don't know, man. Are you have you recovered from your sugar high from Halloween last weekend? I saw you crushing some candy.
I did. And
not candy, not to be confused with Candy Crush. You were actually just crushing some candy.
No, my suits have suffered the wrath of Halloween, and we're trying to pay it back. What about you?
So my wife very slyly gets Butterfinger bars, which I hate, and so I won't eat them. So all the candy that's left is either the kids or hers, and they hide it from me.
I would tell you that I wore a giant bumblebee suit and hit a flask inside of my thorax, which I thought was very creative until one of the housewives that we were getting candy from called me out and told me she had four boys and knew, could feel, sense the fact that I apparently had a flask in my thorax.
I don't even know where a thorax is.
It's right above the abdomen. And I've actually been corrected on the biology.
Biology.
You know, look, we're lawyers. It's Friday. We were really hoping for some of our longtime listeners and first-time callers to call in. And this isn't going to start my Shabbos well, Kurt. You know?
What will start your Shabbos well is a cigar as soon as the show's done, though.
We would like to promote our other sponsor, the Quintessential Gentleman. If you need your hair cut, your pants tailored, your nails done, your back massaged, you need to visit the Quintessential Gentleman at 31 South Calvert Street.
I'm about to go get my shoes shined down there and relax this Friday afternoon. Actually, that's a guest that we should have. We could actually have done a remote feed from the Quintessential Gentleman.
I could do a topic on why half of our clients need to go visit the QG. I mean, if I go to court one more time with somebody in fishnet stockings for a DUI and we're not in front of you-know-who LR in Baltimore County, I have to postpone my cases. So all I'm going to say is, if you're listening to the show and you ever have court, please dress conservatively. Please dress like a puritanical princess. Please dress like someone that lives in Cheswold. All I'm asking is, don't wear fishnets.
Or, you know, they don't really prosecute marijuana anymore, but if you've got a weed case, please don't show up with a weed t-shirt on, like, you know, smoking the ganja. Please don't show up to court high.
Oh, my God. Our office, I met with somebody that smelled, I swear to God, it was Oda.
You got a contact buzz?
It was Oda weed.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, is that Calvin's new scent? Oda weed? Oda the sweet, sweet chocolate?
You mean Calvin as in Calvin Brodus, Snoop Dogg? I didn't know he got a new cologne line.
It was so prominent. And the beautiful thing was, what I did appreciate is he didn't even try to hide it. I mean, he chuckled at everything I said, which made me feel like a damn comedian. So that being said, I was happy.
So, yeah, I think that is actually an important topic. I'll update our post when we get there. But, you know, just sort of one of the things we go over and we emphasize a lot with our clients is appearances. Appearances really, really, really do matter in court. Not for the reasons you think it does, but simple biology means that a prosecutor
biology
or a judge,
or biology?
Biology, I can speak today, you can't, you know, dictates that people make snap judgments. They're going to look at you really quickly. If they're making a decision to cut you a plea deal or to get rid of your case or to give you the benefit of the doubt on that bargain, you know, or to find you not guilty.
And you're wearing a shirt that says, getting high is my job.
Yeah. I've seen people with, like, fuck the police shirts in court. And it's just... Yeah, we've got about a minute and a half left.
And there are small children listening to this, and my daughter's daycare.
I hope not. That would be terrible. All right. Well, we've got about 30 seconds left, so it's a pleasure chatting with you all. Maybe next time one of y'all will call in as promised. But anyway, we'll catch you back, and we will try to make this a regular thing to do it on Fridays. Any shout-outs, Eldridge?
I'd like to say hi to our favorite corridor mortgage agent, Brian Fersey, our favorite federal employees, Jeremy Corey and Eric Nudo, and Jake Dworkin. I'd also like to say hi to Kurt's parents. I miss you guys. You need to come in from out of town sometime soon and run the office.
All right. Talk to y'all later. Bye.